The word Brahmabandhu is significant. A person who happens to take birth in the family of a Brahmana but is still not qualified to be called a Brahmana is addressed as the relative of a Brahmana and not as a Brahmana. The son of a high court judge is not virtually a high court judge, but there is no harm in addressing a high court judge's son as a relative of the Honorable Justice. Therefore, as by birth only one does not become a high court judge, so also one does not become a Brahmana simply by birthright, but by acquiring the necessary qualifications of a Brahmana. As the high court judgeship is a post for the qualified man, so also the post of a Brahmana is attainable by qualification only. The Shastra enjoins that even if good qualifications are seen in a person born in a family other than that of a Brahmana, the qualified man has to be accepted as a Brahmana. And similarly, if a person born in the family of a Brahmana is void of Brahminical qualification, then he must be treated as a non-Brahmana, or in better terms, a relative of a Brahmana. Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme authority of all religious principles, the Vedas, has personally pointed out these differences, and he is about to explain the reason for this in the following shlokas. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Sakshimitam Yiratatvaya Shindu. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Satitam Yanamutale Swayam Prakadamayam Vilati Swapratikam Mukam Kuruti Vashram Kamim Madei Tadrim Yaki Pratam Hamande Shri Guru Minatayam Pancha Kalpa Thrivishra Kripa Sindhya Eva Cha Patita Dhamavimu Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the title of the chapter is still the son of Drona punished. And Krishna here, of course, is giving instructions to Arjuna how he should deal with Ashwatthama. So Krishna is pretty much still repeating what we're hearing previously in terms of qualifications of a practitioner. Here specifically we hear again of a Brahma Bandhu, one who has some association with a Brahmana, does not necessarily make him Brahminical, but that one has to actually, through guna and karma, has to show the qualities of a Brahmana, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, etc. And Prabhupada uses this example of a high court judge, that just because one is born into a family and the parent happens to be a high court judge does not automatically make the siblings, the children of the family high court judges. One has to have the qualification. So Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that he should, because Arjuna has a tendency to have doubts, as we see in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes he thinks, maybe I shouldn't act. This is against religious principles. It is against the Vana and Ashram system. But Krishna, being the essence of all Vedic literature, Krishna himself personally is explaining that Arjuna should indeed actually act in a specific way and reject his personality as being a Brahmana, although his father is a Brahmana, Dronacharya. So what is important for us is to understand that we have to develop certain qualities, and these qualities should be visible not only to Krishna, these qualities are also to be visible to those who are associating with us. As they say, birds of a feather will flock together. So depending on the qualities that we emanate, we will attract certain personalities around us. So if we want to advance spiritually, if we want to advance in our hearing and chanting, in our service attitude, then the best policy, of course, is to follow in the footsteps of those who have done that before. So the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees are ways in which a devotee can actually associate with such qualities. Just as when we perform devotional service, or when we are giving in charity, for example, there's different ways of giving charity, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. And depending on how we give that charity, we get affected by that mode. So if we're giving charity to at the wrong place, at the wrong time, to an unworthy person, our consciousness immediately becomes affected by a tamasic mode of ignorance. By immediately, for example, putting a few dollars or coins in someone who's basking, I don't know, spray painting or whatever, we do not know how they're going to use that money that we're giving them. They might use it most probably for some intoxication or for some sinful activity. So the very fact that we not only instigate but also join that karmic reaction means we get implicated in the modes of material nature. So hence, knowledge about action in Krishna consciousness is very important, because we do not want to get entangled. We don't want to perform devotional service in the mode of passion or devotional service in the mode of ignorance. We have to be equipped with sufficient knowledge how to actually execute the nine processes of devotional service. So another point Srila Prabhupada makes is that Shastra explains that sometimes we may find good qualities in a person who's born in a what is seen materially in a lower family. So as we know in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some followers and associates of Lord Chaitanya were born in Muslim families, or they were born in Shudra families, and that is classified as lower birth. Or some very exalted Vaishnavas were in, let's say, female bodies, which seems to be less intelligent. So different classifications of people coming into contact with the Lord, but the Lord always stresses that this is very insignificant. For him, it doesn't matter what type of body one attains, but if they can exhibit the proper qualities of a Vaishnava who's automatically a Brahmana because he has developed all those qualities, then they are to be accepted. That the external covering of a Vaishnava is not that important. And it is quite offensive actually to try and understand the life of a Vaishnava based on, let's say, the body, where they're coming from in the world, let's say, any abnormalities or so-called deformed points in the body, etc. To view a Vaishnava based on that and to view their advancement based on that is of low intelligence. The main interest for us is to develop these qualities, these Vaishnava qualities, and that comes through the power of association. So when Srila Prabhupada first taught the science of Krishna to the Western speaking personalities, they had practically almost no great qualities. Like we're speaking about people who weren't so interested in keen habits of eating, sleeping, mating. They were eating all sorts of abominable things. They were mental speculators. Life is about this, it is about that. You know, we're one with the universe, so a lot of speculation was going on. A lot of unclean habits, but by the power of associating with a very regulated and strict Vaishnava, these, and by teaching, by example, these personalities were able to transcend these lower modes of living, and they were trained to be to act on the spiritual platform, always being clean, always being truthful, speaking about Krishna, purifying themselves internally and externally. So we may for some time have the external manifestation of the modes, like our body is a combination of the different modes, what we were attracted to in our previous life. Sometimes we'll read in the Bhagavatam how it says one who was attracted to the female form in their previous life will take a female birth in this present life, and vice versa. So you see that our attachments lead us into further association with the modes of material nature, and these modes, of course, each and every single personality is different. So we have our individual capacity and our desires, and by the mercy of material nature we get, and the modes of material nature, of course, we get given a specific body to try and enjoy in this material world. So we're all looking for enjoyment in different ways. That's why everyone is so different, because we're composed of the same elements, but we are so complex, but no one person is the same. We all have different desires. We want to taste life in different ways. So no two people in this world will be exactly the same. Even with the case, you know, you have twins, you have quadruplets. They might externally look the same, but their individual, their personalities are very different. So by association with the modes of material nature, we get pushed to act in certain ways. Therefore, we have a certain characteristic, we have a certain persona about us because of our association. So because of the association Arjuna is getting from Krishna, he can see reality. He can actually take guidance, he can take instruction. But when we're covered by and put down by the modes of material nature, we can't actually take instruction. We want to be our instructor. We want to do what we want to do. We do not accept authority. because this world is predominantly Kali Yuga, is predominated by the Rajagun and Tamagun. And what Rajagun and Tamagun does is that it removes all hopes of actually being submissive. So if we associate with the more mature nature, there's, you know, fair chances that we'll be submissive and accept any kind of authority. So we know the qualities, you know, mode of passion, your unlimited desires. We want to fulfill our lusty propensities. We want our sense objects, gross and subtle. And anything that comes in the way, you know, we exhibit our rudra form. We get angry. And we try by all means to get what we want. We don't listen. Maybe some of us have experienced it. If we want something, we get it. And if anyone comes in the way, we'll bomb them. Or we'll kill them. Or whatever. In the mode of ignorance, there's not a thought of inquisitiveness. We're very, very dull. Our consciousness is actually very, very dull. So we can't even fathom the basic things about life. Who am I? Try speaking to someone who is very much engrossed in laziness, inertia, sleep. Try and speak to them about just something simple like the body and the soul. So, you know, you have a different body, you have this gross body, and you have a subtle body. Even from that platform, they cannot understand. Although they're very, very sophisticated in their, you know, suits and ties during the day. They look like very, very important administrators. I was listening to a lecture by Bhaktivedanta Purnaswami explaining how in this world people think, you know, they are big CEOs, they're this and that. They have so many managerial roles and they're wearing suits during the day, but he's saying, but actually they're carrying out the works of, they have Shudra mentality. They're carrying out the works of Shudras, but they're dressed up in all these fancy attire. So they do not accept any type of authority. They themselves are their own authority. But we see here in the Bhagavad Gita, it also mentions that, you know, wherever there is Krishna, there will be victory. But sometimes it becomes difficult. For us, it may become difficult because our vision sometimes fails to see Krishna. Especially when times are a bit rocky. When times are a bit rough, we fail to see Krishna's hand. When the boat is plying smoothly, of course, you know, the winds are very favorable, everything is nice. But in, you know, any sailor will let you know, wherever you go, sometimes there will be some turbulence. Also in a flight, sometimes there's turbulence for like 5 minutes. And when those moments happen, that's when we get our faith shakes. Then we start questioning. Then we start thinking, there is no Krishna. If this has happened, then Krishna is not there. So a lot of our faith has to lie in actually constantly hearing about Krishna's pastimes and how he over and over again allows the living entity to see that, you know, he is the best friend of the living entity, that he never leaves the living entity. Even when we're in the most abominable state of existence, Krishna is there. So from reading Shastra, we have to get this firm conviction and understanding that Krishna is the main guide. Krishna is the constant. Everything else is changing. We start off devotional service maybe in, I don't know, Nepal or in Mexico City, Paraguay, Uruguay. 5 years later, you're shipped off somewhere else. And then 2 years down the line, you're in India. And then 10 years later, you move to Australia. And then you end up in South Africa. Right? So externally, things are changing. But there's always one constant, Krishna and his service. That doesn't change. So wherever we go, Krishna is there. We can't run or hide from Krishna. We have to develop firm faith in Krishna that what he's actually saying in these texts, what he's actually saying in Bhagavad Gita is true, it is not myth. When Krishna says, don't worry, I will wipe your slate, I will remove all sinful reactions. The Krishna, when the Bhagavad Gita summarized Krishna, says, you know, do not fear, just surrender. I will wipe away everything. In other chapters, Krishna has explained, okay, if you can't think of me, if you can't work for me, at least think of me. If you can't do this, at least offer your results to me. So Krishna is showing that he's trying by all means to actually get us out of this material existence. And to top it off, Krishna manifests himself in his eternal form of Lord Chaitanya, where he makes it very, very easy, where he gives a process that anyone can take to. Not everyone can become a jnani, not everyone can become a yogi, especially in this age of Kali. We don't have the adhikar to actually become jnanis or yogis on a gross and subtle level, but with this chanting of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy, because we can attain self-realization by perfecting this chanting. So he's given his potent 8 instructions how to actually do that. So if we don't follow those instructions, or if we doubt those instructions, if we ever have any doubt, then that means we're lacking in our shravanam and kirtanam. Because all of Krishna's pastimes, all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are showing us that, okay, this is the process, and these are the devotees who are perfecting this process and going back to Krishna. It does happen. Or we may think, oh, this is in Satyayuga. This was in Treta, this was in Satyayuga, and I'm in Kali Yuga. You know, so it'll take me time. Krishna doesn't say if you chant attentively Hare Krishna in Satyayuga and Kali Yuga, you'll attain perfection. Krishna just says, just man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says, you know, devote your mind, offer your homage, think of me, worship me. He didn't say in Kali Yuga, in Satyayuga, in Treta Yuga. Wherever we are, in any point in time and existence, whether we have material desires, whether we have no desires, or whether we're full of desire, we still approach Krishna. Because everything is coming from Krishna. Now we understand that Krishna is the mother and Krishna is the father. So, we have our body. In the creation, we understand that Brahma is the first created being. He sprouted from the navel of Mahavishnu. And in a most sense, we understand when the mother is pregnant, she's connected to the child through the umbilical cord as well. So Krishna is the seed-giving father, and yet supplies the universal egg. So simultaneously, Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father. From Krishna, everything is coming. All different types of relationships. We have our primary relationships with Krishna, and we have our secondary relationships with Krishna. But everything is coming from Krishna. In this material world, of course, we know from chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, everything becomes perverted. Everything. The love is perverted. The anger is perverted. There's different rasas one can have with Krishna. Everything originates from Krishna's rasa lila. All the arts, the cooking, the dancing, everything is originating from Krishna. But when tinged by matter, as we're hearing, Arjuna, when he gets angry, of course we see the changes, his eyes, copper-like, very fiery. Krishna gets angry, he's still the same transcendental person. No, he doesn't get affected at all. He always remains in his complete transcendental form. Whereas we, because we have this independence, we have a tendency to slip and become affected by the modes of material nature. You know, when we become affected by the modes of material nature, it becomes very difficult for us to hear from authority. It becomes difficult for us to develop saintly qualities, Brahminical or to speak of demigod qualities, it becomes very difficult. Therefore, we should strive to situate ourselves and always hear topics about Krishna and how Krishna has the power, the potency, the purity to actually enter within the material creation, not be touched by it, remain pure in his transcendental form, perform his pastimes to attract the living entities, and at the same time have the potency to make us pure and reconnect us in our eternal constitutional position. If we see Krishna's hand like that, it becomes easy to cross over this ocean of material suffering. But if we fail to see Krishna in everything that happens in our lives, then we're in ignorance, we're in forgetfulness. You know, when we're in ignorance, it is very hard to be happy. And everyone is always looking for happiness in this world, either by themselves or with family, friends, nation, and society. But without the parts being connected to the whole, there cannot be any question of happiness on an internal point of view. So we have to develop Brahminical qualities. We have to develop the adhikar or the qualification to actually always be in Krishna consciousness. So as we were hearing yesterday, Keshava Prabhu was explaining favorable activities that we align ourselves with to make sure that our bhakti yoga or our practice of Krishna consciousness goes smoothly. And also being enthusiastic, patient, associating with advanced devotees, following the rules and regulations, following the footsteps of previous acharyas, avoiding the association of non-devotees, worldly-minded persons, and all these guidelines have been given so that we properly foster and we maintain these Vaishnava qualities that will arise due to our Shravanam and Kirtanam. And especially in the association of devotees, these qualities grow very quickly. If we are attentive in our association, and if we seek the nectar instead of seeking other things, then our growth in bhakti is very rapid. Blockages in bhakti are due to some offenses we might commit, due to a blurred vision. And this blurred vision is the contamination of the modes. We start being envious or proud or wanting to be the center or wanting to lord it over once again. This blurs our vision of associating with devotees, of associating with Krishna in his different forms, the deity form, the Bhagavatam. It blocks that vision for us. So hearing attentively, associating attentively, not being lackadaisical, not being whimsical when dealing with others who have taken to this process of devotional service. So these are points that I thought when reading this purport would come out in my mind. This is what I'm personally trying to work on, not trying to see from an external point of view, but seeing more from the soul's platform, not judging based on external issues, but using Shastra to try and understand what is happening around us. And in that way, there will be no mental speculation. If we base, Prabhupada always mentions that, if we are always basing everything on Shastra, then our propensity to speculate will reduce, because our mind will want to say certain things to increase our subtle sense gratification. But if we base everything we do on Shastra, we gradually get purified from that desire. Our false ego gets purified from thinking, I'm the controller, I'm the doer, I'm the most intelligent, I'm the most this and that. But we humbly accept Krishna's words from the Bhagavatam, and we accept Krishna's examples. Krishna uses his pure devotees as an example as to how we should deal with him. So this is how Arjuna is humbly listening to Krishna, This is how we should deal with Krishna. Krishna gives an instruction, and we use our intelligence to fulfill that instruction. That can be through the spiritual master, it can be through the senior devotees who are taking care of us, the temple president, the temple manager. Prabhupada once said to his disciples who were saying, you know, we don't hardly see you, how do you follow your instructions? And he said he acts through his senior disciples, his temple president. So by following their instructions, we're following his instructions, and he's happy when there's that kind of communication. For the Almighty, we have one vision, and that is to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And there's different ways to do that. And we have to plug ourselves into it and do the needful. Just like Arjuna is doing the needful in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, according to Krishna's desire, not according to his desire. That's the main difference. We do things according to Krishna's desire, which ultimately 100% of the time will please us as well. So I'll stop and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.